From our 7 days in Syria, it is in the city of Kafran Bel, in the northwest of the country, that we have one of our most moving encounters. Kafran Bel is a town administratively belonging to the Idlib Governorate and Ma'arat al-Numan district. Prior to the war, Kafran Bel was Syria's largest producer of figs and a major producer of olives. This small town, which was virtually unknown before 2011, gained worldwide fame for its creative and satirical protests. In the revolution, Kafran Bel quickly distinguished itself with its huge banners featuring witty and sharp English-language slogans and hard-hitting cartoons. The town has been described as the icon of the Syrian revolution and became a hub for civil activism. It is here that one of the members of the Syrian media team that accompanies us once lived. He's eager to show and tell us everything about his hometown that he so much cherishes. This is where I lived. This is where we used to chill out as friends. This is the masjid. This is the road. Becoming more energetic as the memories flood back. There are unnerving moments for me as he takes us on a walkabout through his destroyed neighborhood, pointing out to us that there are still a number of unexploded ordnances in the area and even more landmines on the outskirts of the town.
بعد تحرير مدينة كفران بيل دخل المجاهدون إلى هذه المنطقة كانت عبارة عن مستودع سلاح.
Marked off by red tape, we see a house that was used as a weapons store by the Mujahideen, but which became the site of an accident which led to a number of casualties when ammunition exploded. At the outskirts of the town, there is more red tape and spray-painted messages warning residents to stay clear as these particular grounds are heavily mined. As Syrian families return to their homes, accidental contact with landmines is tragically killing hundreds. Children are particularly vulnerable to cluster munitions, sometimes mistaking them for toys. By March 2025, 640 people had been killed or injured, according to the world's largest landmine charity. An earlier report had found that a third of the victims were children. Volunteers have been helping to try to clear people's land and make it safe for them to return. But tragically, they have also been losing their own lives as a consequence. A close relative of one of our guides met this fate while trying to assist just a few days before our arrival. Experts say it could take decades to remove the mines and make Syria truly safe. Previously, at the Al-Rahma Hospital, we were exposed to the cries of a patient who had to have a limb amputated due to a landmine injury, with medics there reporting that they were now dealing with new landmine-related cases virtually every day. Beyond these human stories, the buildings of Kafran Bel also have tales to tell. As an area that is devastated for kilometers on end, what is most striking to us is that how over such a vast radius, there are virtually no buildings and homes at all that have not sustained serious damage. A fact that speaks to the length of the war, the intensity of the weapons used, and coordinated campaigns to ensure that areas were systematically destroyed. A second observation is that every single destroyed or partially destroyed structure is but a shell of concrete. Every other part of each and every building we see, thousands as far as the eye can see, has been systematically stripped. We later learn that this was the result of a campaign of pillage in Syria of such a large scale that entire neighborhoods of IDPs and refugees have been dismantled and destroyed systematically across districts. In areas affected by significant displacement, regime forces not only stole household items, furniture and valuables from the homes of refugees, but also dismantled roofs, doors, windows, iron rods, electrical wires and plumbing fixtures, rendering entire neighborhoods uninhabitable. Reminiscent of the way swarming locusts would leave farmland and forests stripped of all edible greenery, leaving nothing but bare earth and branches. The culprits behind this industrial-scale pillage include the regime's 4th Division and affiliated security forces and militias. who concluded business agreements with private contractors or merchants interested in acquiring looted items, including raw materials. Trucks would transport looted items for sale in markets, including some created particularly for this purpose, like the so-called Sunni market, which sold looted items from the homes of Sunni refugees and IDPs in Homs. This pillage only magnifies the challenges for refugees seeking to resettle in their homes. Contrasted with these sites of utter ruin, it is at the Jami'a Masjid of Kafran Bell that we experience a moving moment of rebirth. As we enter this masjid, we first find it desolate, its shell still in place, but again with all its windows, marble and fixtures stripped. The roof of the masjid shows structural damage from regime airstrikes. As we walk around, inspecting the damaged mimbar and mihrab, an elderly man with a radiant face and white beard emerges from a corner of the masjid. As we get speaking, we are blessed to hear from him a most uplifting and unique account. He is the muadhin and current imam of this Jami'a Masjid, living in a small room attached to it. For 11 years, during the revolution, whilst Kafran Bell still had residence, he was the muadhin of this masjid. However, he was always on edge as the regime was unhappy about his activity. In the 1980s, when he was still newly married, the regime imprisoned him in the notorious Red Section of the Tudmur prison, accused of being a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. He spent 10 years incarcerated there. He speaks of the torture he underwent at Tudmur that made him feel death would be imminent. Laid down on the ground with hands tied behind the back and beaten unconscious, electrocuted on the tongue and the ears, and being slapped so hard that he lost his memory for some 10 days. Once released, he pursued his passion to deliver the adhan in various masajid, but he had to relocate numerous times because the regime was unhappy with his Islamic activity and kept him under surveillance. Eventually, he relocated to Kafran Bell. After the city was taken by the regime in 2020, he was displaced with his family to the town of Salqin. However, with the fall of the regime, he hastened back to his beloved masjid and settled in a room in the masjid, even though the town overall is still virtually uninhabited after the war.
ما بقى ناخذ دواء من هوا بلادنا يعني ما بقى رجعنا على ارضنا رجعنا على مساجدنا على بيوتنا.
When I returned, the muadhin says, I was in tears and trembling. In Salqin, I was always sick and miserable. When I returned here, life re-entered my veins the moment I took the first breath of fresh air. He wasted no time in beginning to call out the adhan again at the devastated masjid. And currently Salah has been re-established among the 150 families that have returned, this occurring in a cleaned-out wing of the masjid. Through calling out the adhan and establishing Salah, he is confident that life will return and Kafran Bell will thrive again on account of the name of Allah being called out through its ruins. For this lofty ideal, the muadhin makes great sacrifices. His family are still displaced in Salqin and he takes off 3 days a month to visit them. From the rubble and ruin, this is one stirring story of spiritual rebirth.
قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير تولج الليل في النهار وتولج النهار في الليل وتخرج الحي من الميت وتخرج الميت من الحي وترزق من تشاء بغير حساب.
As we glean from Surah Al-Imran, just as Allah can revive dead land, He can revive people, nations and societies that have experienced apparent ruin. Decline and renewal are part of Allah's creation and mercy, reminding believers that no matter how devastated a land may become, it can find new life and rise again by Allah's will and provision. To cap off this indelible encounter, the Muazzin calls out the Adhan for us in his powerful voice, reverberating through the masjid's cracked walls and enlivening our parched hearts.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Thank you.